Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Slash it down.
I want to be able to take people by surprise still. Like, now they expect it, so I've got to be sneakier.
Right, this is... You voted for... They went for, like... Do you know if I put on, like... They went for the rudest one.
Always.
Standard. Most gory, most rude.
I'm sure people would just love to see three options that say, like, something involving genitals, yeah. Something involving a sex murder, something involving... the most gruesome crime you've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Like, that's when we'll have a tie.
Well, the one that you went for, I called it I'm Coming. But it should have
it should have That's been, rude even for you.
It should have been I'm Cummings, really. Because he was called Dr. Cummings.
Oh, I see.
I'd put capital C, so it was obvious.
Like, because everyone pays attention to that
punctuation.
If you didn't realize, it was obvious.
So he wasn't the murderer. This is the story of Rory Jack Thompson, and it was requested by Laura on the Facebook group, so thank you very much to Laura. Name check. So this is a story from Tasmania, so we are getting around the world now. And this is from September 13th, 1983, where Ooh. Dr. Royal Cummings, Royal for a first name. That's almost like, there's a kid called Princess that lives in the local area.
That would be a good name.
Royal.
Maybe it's Royale.
Did we have a friend who was going to name his kid Roman?
Yeah.
Roman Blue or something.
Something like, yeah, Roman Blue tripod, I think.
Yeah, so Dr. Royal Cummings went to the Macquarie Point sewerage plant in Tasmania because they'd phoned the hospital. I don't know why they phoned the hospital, but not the police. But basically, or the police had phoned him. Basically, they'd found a finger in the sewer amongst all the excrement, I imagine.
They're like, we need to save it, quick.
Yeah.
Get a doctor.
So... he took it back with him to the Royal Hobart Hospital, and he determined it was a right middle finger. So
that's a fun game to play. Like, guess what finger? Well, I say fun, but it's a game.
It's a game.
Like when you play toe or finger, but you could just play guess the finger.
So that's like the key swearing finger or masturbating. No?
Well... we know how you do it.
What are you, index finger?
I don't really.
So the next day, Dr. Cummings and Constable Cooper, now I couldn't find out enough information to see how they found out the address, but they did. So they visited a house in Hobart where they'd worked out that the finger came from. So the police officer and the doctor walked through the house, which was empty of people, and upstairs to the main bedroom. Now, here they saw a large blood stain and a piece of some sort of, like, skin or tissue. And it was later, using a microscope, that he determined that that was a lump of fat.
Okay.
Lovely. There was more blood around the upstairs and around the bathroom door, and more pieces of fat and muscle just scattered around the house.
So for this thing, someone's obviously chopped up. At that point, they sort of chopped up a finger and flushed it.
Yeah.
So now it's like someone's clearly been trying to chop up a body into lots of little pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
But not really into cleaning.
Yeah. So in the back garden, in the gully trap, which is basically like a sort of basin that the waste from the house goes into before it goes into the sewer pipe, there were bits of human tissue and large quantities of blood. And when they started to clear it out, which is the grimmest job, I think the police constable did that one, they broke it out and emptied it. They found a heart, they found lungs, they found a liver, and a uterus was found. And when they looked at the uterus in detail, it showed the woman had children, which basically shows you how fucked up your body gets after childbirth, where you can look at decapitated like a removed uterus and say
this has been stretched out.
Yeah. And they could tell that she was still of childbearing age.
That's mad.
Yeah.
That's good medicine.
So they searched nearby in bushland as well, and they found a head.
Oh.
And the head was found.
This is a bloody mess.
It's horrible.
Half of it in the toilet, half of it in the house, half of it just in the garden.
Yeah, and then down the road.
Oh my God.
In like bushland. So the head was missing the ears, nose and lower jaw. Now, if there's anything worse than finding a human head, it's finding a human head with bits chopped off.
Do you think a dingo got it?
I don't. Do they have dingoes in Tasmania? Coyotes.
Dingo stole my baby.
Was that? I don't understand that story. Did it actually steal a baby?
I don't know.
I did find out about the West Memphis 3 though, because I watched a documentary. But Rages, I was like, what is this case? Now I know.
Welcome to the last 20 years.
Yeah. Welcome to true crime.
Lisa. Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Which one did you watch?
It's on Netflix. It was, I don't know.
West of Memphis. You need to watch Paradise Lost, all three of
them. Oh, yeah. It mentioned that in the one I watched.
Yeah, definitely. You should watch those.
So their skull, when they analysed it, showed fractures caused by blows to the head, and they were clearly caused before death. So it didn't really take long to work out the culprit, and this was Rory Jack Thompson. Now, he had planned this murder, and it had long been a fantasy of his.
Was it a fantasy to make this much of a mess?
Well, I think he thought he was doing a good job of getting rid of it. Because he'd practiced this whole scenario. This was his second go. So he'd been a well-respected scientist and researcher. So he was, scientists have got to be a bit clean, haven't they? A bit tidy, a bit methodical.
The good ones, anyway.
Yeah. He was originally from America, but he'd moved with his wife and children to Tasmania. And he had become quite violent towards his wife, and she had ultimately fled with the children and settled about 4 kilometres away in the house, which was where Dr. Cummings went to look around. So basically, he had planned her murder as a sort of retaliation for her leaving him. So he...
Eye for an eye.
In his practice, had bought a sheep carcass, and he'd attempted to dispose of that to see if he could do it. So basically, he'd bought a sheep carcass.
How big is his wife?
I don't know. A sheep could get pretty big, Carlo.
I guess.
So he'd basically bought a sheep carcass and chopped it up and flushed bits of it and, I guess, put bits of it in the garden and gone, yeah, seems to all check out. Like, let's go for round two. So he set off to carry out his plan on the 10th of September 1983. So what he did was he put on a... Do you remember those wraparound skirts?
A sarong?
No, like a short... Like a tie one, I think.
Not a sarong. No. What's the difference? That it's shorter?
Oh, I'm going to show you.
Let me see. Lucy just showed me a picture of him. Turns out that's just a piece of clothing that is not in my head.
I'm surprised you've never seen one. It's definitely a 90s thing.
Nope. I spent the 90s wearing leopard print leggings, which are coming back. I'm now old enough to say, oh, I remember this the first time.
Yeah, very much so. I keep saying to the kids, you all look like you're out of Clueless. They're just rolling their eyes and going, oh my God. So, so he put on a wraparound skirt. He wore a wig and he made his way over to her house. So obviously he didn't want to get identified on the way. And then I think this is the
most... That's so mad. Like, I think, you know, if I saw like my dad wearing a wig and a skirt, I'd be like, Dad, why are you wearing a wig and a skirt? I don't think I'd be like, there's no way I can identify him.
Yeah, exactly. So the most horrifying part is he basically just stood in the garden in the dark till he could tell that she'd gone to sleep and all the lights were off. And then, which really freaks me out because I always think it's really easy to get into my garden. I always think, what if someone was in there? And then he broke into the house and she was asleep and he hit her over the head. Obviously, she woke up at this point.
Were the kids there? Do we know where they were?
I couldn't find anything about that. There wasn't a lot of detail about this, hence Slash and Dash. And obviously, it's not British as well. But he did take the kids out the next day. So I assume that they were in the house because where else would they have been? Unless they were at his house. And he'd...
Oh, it was his turn, I guess.
Left them on their own.
Hmm.
So he hit her over the head and then he strangled her to death. And then he set about using a hacksaw and he cut her body into 91 pieces.
Then
did a process of flushing some down the toilet. Hence, they were in the sewage works. And then the rest he buried in bushland nearby or put, obviously, down the drains and things. And obviously, he thought that was a really... Like, he didn't think of the sewage works. I guess you sort of don't. You think down the toilet, it's disappeared forever. It's in the sea. But obviously,
one's going to realise all these human body parts are showing up.
Yeah. So the next day, he took his children swimming.
Not in the sea, hopefully.
Yeah. It was really quick to find him because of this finger turning up in the sewage works. And then I guess they could pin it down to the exact house or the neighbourhood. But once the body was found, he was the obvious candidate. And he was questioned and he confessed, but he confessed to manslaughter instead of murder.
I didn't mean to chop her up into 91 pieces.
Well, he said that he was mentally unstable and he was actually sent to a mental facility. But in 1999, he attempted to escape the facility. But I found a couple of sources, and both of them called it bizarre or foolish. Or basically, they were taking the piss out of this terrible escape attempt. So he was quite a keen gardener at the mental health, hospital. Mm-hmm. And he had been given permission to work in the garden unsupervised. So, I mean, they must have really wanted whatever he was growing to be like, yeah, stay on your own, it's fine. So he basically walked out of the prison. He walked straight to an airport. Or he might have hitched, I don't know. But he used a credit card to buy a plane ticket. So immediately they had a credit card ticket bought in his name. They knew what flight
he
was going on.
How did he still have his own credit card?
I guess they don't take them off you. What are you going to be buying? Unless you can maybe use them in the tuck shop. I don't know.
That's so weird. But it could be like, there's a case that I'm going to do in a couple of weeks about someone who was committed to a mental institution. And there was at one time this rule that if you could escape capture for 28 days, then you were free.
It's like squatter's right.
Well, yeah. Like if you could prove that you were able to actually live on your own without being caught for that amount of time, and actually you could be discharged.
Not if you're a criminal then, just if you were...
Just from the mental institution.
Oh, okay.
It's really weird.
It's almost like a challenge then, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm only halfway through researching that one, so I don't know exactly how it ends up. But it's not the case anymore, but it definitely was. Like if you were walked out and then...
You lived... Like satisfied while you're
Not if you were sent as a criminal. If you like had to be admitted by your family or by yourself, like it was voluntary,
right.
And then you just left. They couldn't like if you ran away for the day and they're like, oh, come back, then fine. But if you could evade capture for long enough, then they'd be like, I guess you're not mental anymore.
Yeah, I guess if you're clever enough to, yeah, that makes sense.
But interesting. But you think they'd be like, you need to do an exit interview.
Yeah. So he bought this plane ticket on his credit card and was basically arrested in the air by the staff on the plane and returned straight to the prison. So he was away for like 90 minutes.
I bet he had a lot of fun.
I doubt it was free booze. It was surely
he's like, a short haul flight.
Yeah.
Free as a bird, buying
credit
fags.
Card!
Yeah.
So shortly after that, he wrote a will. Basically, I think he thought, well, there's no way I'm getting out now. Transferred his money to his family members and he hanged himself in his cell. And he did express some regret for the murder of his wife in his book.
Some regret.
But not enough.
No.
So thank you, Laura, for recommending that. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And see you later.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Michael, host of the Murder Mile True Crime Podcast, which was nominated as one of the best British true crime podcasts of 2018. It's based on my 5-star rated guided walk and features more than 300 untold, unsolved and long forgotten murders, all set within 1 square mile of London's West End. So if you love hearing about new cases for the first time, old cases through a fresh pair of ears, and classic cases with a twist, all researched using the original declassified police investigation files, written using first-hand accounts, and recorded using authentic sounds from the murder location itself, then Murder Mile is just for you. Download the Murder Mile True Crime Podcast on iTunes, Acast, or your favourite podcast platform every Thursday. Thank you for listening and stay safe.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.